What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we are back with episode 92. Had a great time on the previous episode. Hopefully you checked that out. We had special guest Scott Derrickson, director of The Black Phone, Sinister, Doctor Strange, a bunch of other movies. I don't say that lightly, like just a bunch of other whatever, as if it's trash. No, he's done a lot of good stuff.
But, yeah.
Those are the more recent ones, are the biggest, some of the bigger named films that he's done. And he was on our show. We had to talk with him and, you know, chit chat about the process, things that goes into, you know, making films, how he got, you know, picked up by Marvel, plans for the future, love of comics. We talked about a lot of stuff. So if you didn't see that episode, it's called Black Balloons, and it is episode 91 of the Gamecast. Go check that out. It's actually, this is a funny thing, it's actually one of our biggest episodes, but the analytics is actually split because our second biggest, or our biggest adjacent episode, is the one where we had David F. Sandberg on.
Because on YouTube,
right? Because on YouTube, because we had the video with him, everyone's going to that to kind of like watch him talk. Whereas with this episode, it was more audio based. And so people are going over to Spotify and you know, those places to listen. And so in, on Spotify and iTunes and all that, it's actually, there's more people have listened to it over there. But on YouTube, that episode is actually the biggest. So it's like, it's, they're like sharing the top spot, if you will, which I think is comical. In terms of like just trying to follow the analytics and whatnot, I gotta figure out how to pair these things. But anywho, yeah, we have another dope show for you today. A bunch of things to talk about, things that are happening and within, I don't know, black nerddom, if you will. or at least stuff that's, you know, concerns us, one of which being Intergalactic. Just doing my own plug real quick. I reviewed Intergalactic, Netflix show, or actually film. It was supposed to be a show, but it got turned into a TV special. If you don't know what that is, it's a movie that's accompanying Kid Cudi's new album, which has the same title, Intergalactic. And I was pleasantly surprised, like really so, because I, looking at it, and that, you know, the amazing animation that is done in, like, you know, I guess pastels. It looks like digital pastel and acrylic paint and just really, really dope. If you've seen, like, the Spider-Man, the Miles Morales film, Into the Spider-Verse, it's similar to that but different. And really, really amazing aside of a few rough areas here and there. It looks like a painting come to life. I think it's really, really dope. But looking at it, it was going to be like a promotional vehicle is what I thought. So that's just it. Like, here's a bit of story, but mainly we're focusing on the music. And while the music is important and it does have like a, you know, a video vibe, like a music video vibe, it is really good in terms of just telling a basic love story. And what I mean by that is a lot of the beats, the story beats are formulaic. We've seen these things happen before, but at the same time, they do, it's written better. For instance, you think of like any black love story. We think of like, you know, Love and Basketball. We think of The Best Man. We think of these type of films where somebody's got to be messy, right? There's got to be some type of, you know, someone slept with someone or someone is dating someone, you know, spouse from way back when or whatever the case may be. People crashing weddings, all sorts of foolishness like that. But in this film, there's actually none of that. Any of the conflicts that they run into are just like natural conflicts that you might have when you're starting up a new relationship. And it's actually very refreshing because of that, which is hilarious, right? You would think like the more scandalous you get, the more, I don't know, unique the film would be, but it's actually very grounded. Even though the characters are, you know, can be wild and, you know, and stuff like that, everything is grounded and pragmatic, which I really, really enjoy. And so the story in and of itself isn't, you know, you've seen this before, but how they tell the, how they tell a familiar story is actually refreshing. I'll put it that way. But Kid Cudi, he does a really good job. Ty Dolla $ign is hilarious in the role. Like, he plays one of his the guy that's that Kid Cudi's playing, his name is Jabari. And Ty Dolla $ign plays a friend of his, Kai, and he shares all sorts of stories about his dating experiences to kind of warn Jabari about like what he's about to get into. And it's so out there. that I'm like, how, Sway? Like, how did this happen to you? Like, in terms of cautioning someone about what they should and shouldn't do in a relationship, and he gets into this whole, like, let's just say the SWAT show up, the SWAT team show up to arrest him. That's how bad it gets at what point. And I'm like, how did you get yourself into this type of thing? Jessica Williams plays the love interest, Meadow. She does a great job, and she's always been great regardless in everything that she does. Majority black cast, Tiana Taylor's in it, Keith David is in it. It's really, really good.
And Tim Chalamet.
Yep. It comes out, so Breaking the Fourth Wall, it comes out tomorrow. Today's Thursday, so it comes out tomorrow, September 30th. Definitely go check that out. One of the, at least for me, of this year, one of my highest viewed films of this year. I'm not gonna say the score because I actually want you to go to IGN and read the review, but because I know how y'all do, y'all see the score and y'all keep it moving. No, go read my review. I wrote it. Okay, it was good. I was all like, you know, poetic and ish. Like, go read it. But yeah, I wanted to share that, and I have some other reviews popping up soon with other films and whatnot. So just wanted to plug that a little bit, you know, in the front. But some of the things we wanted to talk about today, some are sad and some are, you know, because current events, things happen, and we would like to cover them a little bit in a respectful manner, obviously. And so one of the first topics we wanted to talk about was the passing of Coolio, which came as a shock, I think, just about everybody everywhere. And not so much in the sense of like, we just saw him doing something, but more so like, I guess, the why of it all. Like, what happened? Like, you know what I'm saying? Apparently, he was visiting a friend's house, and he went to the bathroom and he didn't come out. The friend went to check on him and found him laying unconscious. And so he called 911. The EMTs arrived. They started to, you know, try to do CPR and whatnot. And they unfortunately pronounced him dead at the scene. They were saying that the official cause of death has not been determined, I don't think. They believe that he suffered some type of cardiac arrest. And which is just unfortunate. Like, that's just really like, what? You know what I'm saying? And there's always this idea of like, you know, you're here one day, gone tomorrow type of thing. And you hear about people who are, and a lot of people have passed away recently, whether it be via some type of, you know, violent means, or, you know, just was old age, you know, passing with their, you know, family members and whatnot. So to kind of hear like, dang, you know, I was just sitting with someone, just talking to them, and they went to the bathroom and passed away. It's kind of like, it's just eerie a little bit. At least for me, like not that I think about this, but you know, you getting older, the fact that I have children, it's like, dang, would I want them to find, whatever. It's not about me, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of hearing the information, going and looking it up, and then feeling sad, you know, that this artist, you know, this person passed away, and then the method of what happens, it's not to say that, you know, you would be glad if there was a car accident, or you would be glad if whatever, but it's just like, wow, like, life is short. Like, life is really short, and you just don't know. And so, you know, where you get those platitudes of, you know, tell people that you love them while they're here and stuff like that. And while we all say that, but I think it's really true. Like, you really need to say these things. You need to tell people how you feel about them and give them their flowers right away. Like, don't wait, because tomorrow is not promised. For those who don't know who Coolio is, something's wrong with you. Just gonna throw that out there.
Leave it at that.
But yeah, he is known for, one of his biggest hits was Gangster's Paradise. The soundtrack to, he was on the soundtrack for Dangerous Minds, which is a pretty dope film. He also had, he did the theme song for the Kenan and Kel show. Yep. He had hits like Fantastic Voyage. Like, he had some hits out there. And
Coolio,
has been,
man,
for the most part, been really relevant in some way or some fashion for a really long time, you know? And so, though we're not going to go too deep into his background, because this was more of a sudden thing, you know, for everybody.
It just happened yesterday.
Right. We do want to share a little bit about, you know, what we thought and wanted to pay respects in our own way. And so, yeah, if you haven't listened to his music, haven't checked him out, and, you know, the things that he's done in the past, definitely go do so. I'm not sure in terms of how his music was set up in terms of like Spotify and stuff like that. I don't know if that money could potentially go to his family. Because, you know, like, if, you know, if people don't know, own their masters or, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. But it would be nice, a nice sentiment to, you know, to run it up. And I don't know if his family, I don't know in terms of money where he stood. But if there is a GoFundMe, you know, official GoFundMe, you know what I'm saying? Definitely, you know, that's something we would share as well. But, you know, prayers out to the family and all the fans and all the people that he's touched in a positive way. It's just sad. Just
yeah,
like, really
it's really sad.
Sad.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw that. And
yeah, when
I,
you hit me I, up, I was like, what?
I know. I was on Twitter, rando, and somebody had captioned a tweet that they had written in 2014, and it was a joke. It said something like, you know, if Coolio outlives some politician, some greasy politician, it's like Coolio outlives this if Coolio dies before this politician, then the world is headed for a nuclear war. And that was in 2014 when they made the, you know, they posted it. And then somebody posted it today, like just reposted it today, and is like, yo, you know, we're halfway there. Like that's whoever posted said something like that. And I looked at it, I was like, that would mean Coolio has died. And I'm like, I'm not fitting, you know how people love to say that Morgan Freeman has died like 18,000 times.
Right, right.
And it's always fake and it's, you know, funny. So I just Googled it and no, that it was actually real. And I'm like, yeah, that tweet's not wrong because we kind of are on the verge of like three wars. So, yeah, and...
Right, it's eerie in a way, and not that you know, not that Coolio was prophetic or anything like that.
No,
but more so like you don't. It's not something that you would expect, I guess.
Yeah,
and not that we expect anyone to die, but you would think like maybe someone who had more of a openly reckless lifestyle, or you know, you would think of like maybe a rock star or someone who's dabbled in a lot of drugs and over time and stuff like that, or someone who, you know, who's been in the news recently, who's been doing a lot of outlandish things. Like those are things where you're like, oh, okay, I could kind of see where you're headed. Whereas other people are just, you don't think that they're ever going to pass away. Like Betty White, like there was no, it's like, wait, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know it's going to happen, but you just don't think it's going to happen. And so the idea, like, when you text, I was like, wait, what? And so I went and looked it up. Because you have to look it up. Because I remember, like, I think Eddie Murphy was, they did that to Eddie Murphy as well. Like, they said that Eddie Murphy had passed. And then he himself was like, hey, I'm still here. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman literally did the same thing. He's like, I have to talk down my death like every twice a year or something. And, you know, I mean, but this was just really, it just the simple fact that it was a tweet, and it wasn't all of a sudden like everybody was tweeting and saying, oh, you know, Coolio, my brother. No, this was very one off. It was just so, wait a minute, because it's also in the form of a joke, but the person is saying it seriously. They're like, hey, not only is this like halfway true, it's kind of more than halfway true, because like he has passed away, this politician is still alive, and we're on the brink of like three wars. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't fun. And so of course I had to go in and do some searching, and then of course, you know, like all of the news outlets are saying this, and I'm like, what? Like it was just really, you know, like there's not a lot of processing time for that. It was kind of like, you know, when Ray Liotta passed away, I was like in the middle of doing something and I like flipped. I was like, no, not my Ray. Like I was just watching Kimmy Schmidt in the episode where he's on Kimmy Schmidt and he's running the gas station. And I'm like, I just watched it yesterday. And then I like the next day. So it's just one of those things where you're just like, oh man. And you know, that's nowhere on your radar. And then it just happens. And it's kind of like, oh, crap. And yeah, that was very surprising to hear, you know, that information and be like, oh man, that's just trash.
And you always hope it's wrong. You really do. Like, you really hope like they were just, you know, someone got their wires crossed. Maybe he was just, he was in the hospital. Cause he wasn't old. Like 59, you think like is what, well, depending on who you ask, they're like, you know, this person's aging, but like, no, like 59 is not considered old. I mean, you are eligible for certain things or whatever, but in the grand scheme of life,
don't make me spit out my tea.
Well, you know how it is. Like people, like people like, be waiting for those discounts. They be waiting for those discounts with senior discount, fam. Like, yo, that's almost as good as military discount. You combine the two. Look, you getting all the coupons. Like, I'm just saying, people feel like that's when, you know, people are old, but he wasn't. I don't think that's old, personally. I think I mean, you're definitely seasoned. You're definitely mature, you know, but you're not to the point where you're expecting someone to pass. Like, if
no, I mean, if the queen can live till she's 96, come on. I mean, mind you, she probably had access to all the heart transplants she needed, but I'm just saying.
Right. She's, yeah, there was a lot of money there. So she lasted as long as possible. But for the most part, we have parents or, you know, had grandparents or whatever that were, you know, well over that age. And so to me, it doesn't seem as, it seemed like the person's old. So you don't think like, you know, old age, you don't think, you know, it was just any type of, well, they didn't mention any type of, like if he had like a like cancer or, some type of a disease or something like that. Like, so those things don't come to mind with him. And so it's like, dang, he was 59. Like what happened? Now, granted, you know, being a celebrity, you know, there could be all sorts of things that went on, you know, behind closed doors in terms of, you know, the lifestyle. You know, once you hit a certain, you know, money threshold and you're famous and all this other stuff, that where people were doing that when they were younger, then they get older and they stop, but they, you know, their bodies are still handling whatever happened prior. I want to say that happened with Eddie Guerrero, any wrestling fans, where he had, you know, kind of was clean for a long time, but it seemed like, and because I don't have the official report, but it seemed like all that stuff, the living before that, kind of caught up with him. And so I don't know if that's the case with Coolio. Regardless of whatever happened, you know, we're you know, saddened by it. Prayers out to the family. And like I said, if you don't know who he is, go check it out. Check out his music on Spotify, if it's on there. You know, check out some of his content. You can type in stuff. Just, you know, Coolio's done blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of articles going up sharing his, you know, his the stuff that he's done over the years and kind of understand, you know, who the person is. And all the fans were just kind of, you know, kind of mourn a little bit. Moving out of that, but still kind of bad, talking about Florida a little bit. It's interesting with how we look at, you know, bad storms and certain places on the planet and how we kind of move. Because when it came to Puerto Rico, and granted, a lot of people have, there was a lot of news outlets that were was covering what was happening there. Even with the whole, you know, passing of what's her name, right? But when we look at like Florida, there is news, people talking about, you know, certain places are flooded. But because Florida kind of, this kind of happens a lot, you're kind of like, oh, they'll be okay. Like my on my parents' side, on my mom's side, most of her family's from Florida. And so dealing with hurricanes and things of that nature, it's, they're not evacuating. They're not going anywhere. It's what they've done for however long. And it's always been like, there'll be moments where you're like, oh crap. Like, you know, are they taken care of? Did they get all the food or whatever that they needed? Did they, you know, board up their windows? And then you go, oh wait, they've been living here like forever. So they'll be fine. You know? And so like how we feel and how we move about it, unless we hear about something, you know, tragic where like a lot of people, you know, lost their lives or something like that, you kind of move in a different way. For instance, I saw someone tweet that like, hey, you know, you don't gotta, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. They're like, you don't gotta, you know, get super excited about this hurricane. We kind of been through this. They were just like, hey, if you see some type of aid come about, you know, feel free to donate, but you don't have to really worry about us too much because we've kind of been through this. And so that's how the world kind of treats it. And that's fortunate and unfortunate at the same time. It's kind of unfortunate because it's kind of like, yeah, they'll be all right, and you just kind of move on. But then like, no, like there's places that don't have power, and there's places that don't have, you know, depending on how the how bad the flooding is, some people don't have a place to go and stuff like that. So you don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird disconnect versus when, let's say, I think it was Houston that flooded a few years back because of a hurricane, and where there was the big, you know, scandal with was the guy that owns the mega church? I forgot his name. Joel. And like, he wouldn't let, like, you know, there was this whole controversy.
Wouldn't let nobody into the church.
Right, he wouldn't let people in or something like that. And so that was looked at as like this really, really big thing because it doesn't really happen there as often. Mm-hmm. But it's similar. It's similar. And so it was just interesting to me to like kind of see how the news was kind of treating certain things. Like, they have to report on what's happening, but the entire mood was like, they will be okay. And that may or may not be the case. So
right.
Just wanted to share a little bit, if you haven't noticed, if you haven't, you know, clued into what's been going on weather-wise, mm-hmm. if you're like me who don't really watch the Weather Channel, I have a weather app, but that's about it.
I didn't actually realize anything was going on until, was it yesterday or something? I can't remember if it was yet. I think it was yesterday. And, you know, like I said, I don't have TV anymore. So, like, I don't have my big TV anymore, and I don't have live TV.
Right.
So the only time I get any information randomly is, like, if something pops up on my computer, like when I'm working, or if something's on my, just pops up on my phone. And then I saw some hurricane imagery, and I was like, I think I've heard something, like, you know, in passing, you walk by a television that's playing at like the store or something. So I think I heard something in passing that there was a hurricane on its way. And then I ended up seeing something, and I'm like, Oh, there's a hurricane in Florida. Okay. And then I turned on the news last night. Well, I did, you know, like on Hulu, you can watch live. And so I was watching the ABC report. So two things. Prior to doing that, what I actually saw was on Instagram. I was on Instagram earlier in the day. At some point, probably it was actually early. I wasn't feeling well yesterday. And I was on Instagram and I saw one of the news guys. I forgot his name, but he's known for doing this. He's known for always going out in the storms. I saw this man get hit by a tree. And I just was just like, you know what, sir? I know you do this. I know this is your job. I know you've been doing this for years. But at some point, you just gotta, you know.
A whole tree?
A whole tree. Like, okay, a tree just came out of nowhere at Lord knows how fast, at like Mach speeds, and takes this guy's leg out from under him. And I'm just sitting here like, at some point, hurricanes happen every year. You don't need to go out there. You get what I'm
saying?
You really
don't. Like, you could go like right before it hits and then right after. Like,
right. You don't need to stand out there and be like, oh my God, and the wind. Because like at this point, this is not like, oh, the seawall is rising and, you know, the rain hasn't hit yet, but the seawall is rising, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, this is active hurricane, gale force winds, sideways rain, debris everywhere. And you literally get hit by a tree. A tree just takes out your ankle. And then this man looks like he's limping. He's like, wait a minute, just gotta catch my breath. It's just, wait a minute. Well, and then this man is holding on to like a street post, like a, you know, sign, street sign.
Like,
and then like another tree goes. And I'm like, what is the purpose of this? Because it's 2022. There are surveillance and CCTV. There's cameras everywhere that we can tap into if we really want to see something. I don't need to see you live reporting getting hit by a tree. Like, you're doing too much. That is literally team do too much, team extra, and you're not accomplishing anything. Nothing's being accomplished here. We know there's a storm.
Yeah.
Go inside, report from the desk, and show us all the cameras that you guys strategically set up around the cities before the storm hits. And the thing is, that's the thing that got me. Florida is only so big, you know what I mean? It's only so wide. And almost, I would say like 90% of Florida is getting hit by rain.
Like, oh yeah.
Like, it's the whole state. It's like some people in Tallahassee are like, well, we're okay. No, like there's some random people over on the western side of Florida and in the north are like, yeah, we didn't get any rain. But like everybody else is So I called like my, well, I texted my friends and I was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm really worried." And they're like, "Yo, we're okay. We didn't lose power, but like the neighborhood down the street, they are flooded." And I'm like, "God," because it was, you know, it hit land at like category 5 or 4. I mean, it's tropical depression now, but this is the point that it was like really, really, really big deal. And I, again, just like you said, a lot of people in Florida are typically are just like, "Oh, we get a storm every year." And the news is like, you know, it's Florida, they get a storm every year, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of times it doesn't hit the entire state. It just might hit a piece of it because it's coming off of somewhere else, kind of like the one that hit Puerto Rico hit Florida a few years ago, but it was just the way that it hit it. And it went north. It like didn't take over, didn't do a lot of damage. They were sensational. The news was sensationalizing it, but it actually didn't do that much. And these people, like, you know, they deal with it all the time, so they kind of know what they're dealing with. But that's not, I don't feel like that's really the case here. I think this is a really, really, really bad storm. I think it hit really hard. It's hit the entire state. And, you know, just like the president said, he's like, "This might be really bad. Like, a lot of people are gonna, that there's no power, there's no access to clean water. A lot of stuff, a lot of the bad stuff happens after the storm is over." And so I think that's just like, just be mindful, everybody, kind of be mindful that Florida might need some help. You know, and that this is like a, this is a bad thing. The bad thing. Hurricanes are bad
Yeah,
things.
this is not a
And it's not important to go outside and get hit by a tree to show us how bad the storm is. We get it. It's not the first hurricane in the world.
Of course, right, exactly. We understand that there's levels. We definitely understand that. But at the same time, we don't want to overlook people who might need help because, you know, they'll be okay. It's kind of like the, this is kind of a stretch, but it's kind of like the myth of like black people being stronger than other people in the sense of pain. And so doctors will be like, "You don't need medication, you don't need surgery, you don't need whatever." And it turns out that it's life-threatening, but it's like, "Oh, we thought you could." And it's like, where did this myth come from? Like,
Who made that up?
that's not what I'm here because I'm in pain. If I could take the pain, I wouldn't be
Wouldn't be
here.
here.
Especially with the way insurance is set up. I would not be here, fam. So I'm gonna need you to come look at my leg or wherever the hell is else is hurting. I'm gonna need you to look at that. But that's essentially what's happening here when it comes to coverage. Now, like I said, there are some people, I know CNN has been kind of looking at it and giving up to, you know, up to date or up minute by minute whatever reports. But there are other places that are like, "Yeah, there's some rain." And like, wait,
No.
that's not a that there's more, right? There's more.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm sorry. I saw a man get hit by a tree. I'm sorry.
It
And
just,
mind you, he
oh
put
my
himself
gosh.
out there. He's the one. He made the choice. His bosses made the choice. They decided he's going to go out there and do what he does best and get hit by a tree. It's bad, people. It's bad.
Yes.
Okay, just know that it's bad. It's bad. And hopefully they've got all the stuff, you know, that they're gonna need, because like that's just what I hope. I mean, as far as I know, they've already got FEMA, National Guard, all they've already got stuff allocated for them. So, you know,
Yeah,
that
I think
should be it.
they have Draw, which is a nonprofit, I want to say based in Michigan, that has already been down in organ down in Florida, and they're accepting donations. And there's also disaster relief at work. There's also I forgot the other one. There's a few other Project Hope, I believe, is has been working. Well, no, they're working with Puerto Rico. What else? There's other places, but you can vet them yourselves, kind of, you know, go in and look at what's what, because not all these places are made equal. I'm just gonna say that, but definitely look at the ones that you think are more trustworthy. And yeah, you know, if you know, your Starbucks coffee, even just that amount, you know what I'm saying? Just to aid whoever that's going through. And not just, like I said, not just Florida, Puerto Rico and
Puerto
other
Rico.
places that were hit pretty hard with these hurricanes. And hurricanes is always a thing that, at least for us, because we're in Virginia, so we get hurricanes, and we are, it's like it is part of the season for us as well, but not as frequent, because usually it hits the southern states before getting to us. There was a rare occasion where it just comes straight to VA and straight to DC, or not DC,
We're
DC anyway,
inland.
right? And so there are times where it does. But for the most part, it kind of does this little swoop action where it goes through the southern states up to VA and so on and so forth. So we know that it's coming, but we're not as wary of it. And that's where that kind of nonchalant attitude comes from. Like, oh, it'd be all right. You know, you're used to this by now. No, that's not always the case, folks. Definitely, you know, be up on what's happening in terms of news. Yeah. And Twitter is actually really good at that because it's...
Yeah.
Depending on who... It's faster than all the news outlets ever. Like,
it is.
Just bananas how quickly people can tell. Which is why you always got to vet it, right? When we talk about celebrities passing. Like, the news hits faster than TMZ sometimes.
It does.
And it's wild. Like, just wild how quick that happens. Beyond those things, though, we wanted to talk about some cool stuff in terms of, you know, geekdom. For instance, Hugh Jackman is going to be returning as Wolverine in Deadpool 3. Ryan Reynolds actually announced this via two videos. One video was talking about how Deadpool 3 is actually in the works and is going to be joining the MCU. And there's a point where Hugh Jackman kind of walks behind, like Ryan is sitting on the couch. Hugh Jackman walks by. He's like, hey, would you want to be Wolverine again? He's like, yeah, okay. And then that's it. And everybody's like, what? And then the second one, they talk about how Logan, if you haven't seen Logan, spoiler, where Wolverine dies, they're saying that they're not actually going to touch that at all. So that's still going to be canon in that particular universe. And that when they add him to the MCU and then nothing, they're talking, but there's music being played over. So you can't actually hear what's happening. You just see Hugh Jackman. He's Wolverine now, folks. You see Wolverine stab Ryan in the head. With some fake claws, and Ryan tried to stab him with a fake sword and pretend blood everywhere. And it's great. It's basically
so funny,
you know. Yeah, they're basically hyping up the potential of a Deadpool 3 and the fact that it's going to be in the MCU, which is great. There's going to be, I want to say, the first, Blade, I don't think Blade is going to come out first. So this might be the first rated R MCU film. And yeah, Hugh Jackman is going to be in it, which is pretty freaking dope. And because he's always said he wanted to work with, you know, like with the other actors and be in the MCU as the X, you know, as Wolverine. He always wanted to do that. He thought it was really cool that he get to, you know, they get to kind of play with the other characters. They're not playing, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. And now he's in
Sandbox.
Right. They get there. You're like, hey, I want to play over there with the cool kids. Like, hey, yeah, you were Fox. You'd be all right.
Look, and like I said, if Sir Pat Stew gets to do it, then Hugh Jackman gets to do it too, because I was upset. Very, you know what I'm saying?
He's like, that's some BS, fam. No, I've been wanting this. He didn't say anything about the MCU. Yeah. I've been talking about this forever. Yeah.
Pat Stew is sitting here like, la, 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 la. And then it's like, Doctor Strange, boom. And I'm like, That was very nice. I'm happy that he showed up, and I'm happy they got to play the little X-Men theme. Spoiler for anybody who doesn't know that.
Right.
I mean, it's available to watch now, so just do it. If I can watch it and I limit my television because of my brain injury, then you can watch it too. All the movies are like out now. I still haven't watched Love and Thunder, but I did just the other day watch Spider-Man No Way Home because it's on Hulu, and then I watched Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness because it's on Disney.
Yep, all the films are out. And also, if you have Netflix, I believe Sony has a deal currently up to a certain point where the Spider-Man films are going to be going there. So that's why Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is there, and the latest Spider-Man film is actually on Netflix as well. Before they come to the Disney Plus, I'm not sure when they will be coming to Disney Plus, but apparently that's going to happen eventually, right after Sony's deal with Netflix and the other places, you know, kind of evaporate. But yeah, really, really cool. Really cool information. I'm looking forward to it. I think it has the potential to be one of the best Marvel films just because it's going to be wacky. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, I don't think the stakes are going to be super high because it's Deadpool. Right? Like, I don't think there's going to be an end of the world type story. I think it's going to be a one where it's very personal to him and personal to Wolverine, maybe the X-Men, and just be really, really funny. And so I'm looking forward to anything they have cooked up because I enjoyed the first two Deadpools. and mm-hmm. the fact that they're going to be in the MCU and just having these heroes is one of those things I always wanted. Like, I know people are getting tired of the MCU in a sense of like, well, one, a lot of it's starting to mesh together and feel the same, but then also because it gets kind of exhausting to be able to, like, watching shows, watching films, and, you know, even sitting to watch the credits because you might miss something that's important.
You have
all
to.
That stuff, right? But for someone who's still avidly reads comics, the person who has been waiting for his entire life to see these people on the big screen and actually share this, you know, the spotlight, versus like having Spider-Man over here and then an X-Men movie over here, where I'm like, you all live in New York. Like, there's no way you didn't run into, you know, the Fantastic Four while you were fighting such and such. Like, what is going on? That happens in the comics all the time. So, like, the fact that this is actually happening, and not just with Marvel, but with DC, I'm all for it. I don't think I'm going to, unless they just, you know, start being trash all the way around, like, I don't think I'm going to get tired of it anytime soon. You know what I'm saying?
So
I'm excited.
I am a little tired because it is a lot. And I didn't think that I would ever say that, because I was just so happy that there was all these movies, and I was like, oh my God, we get a Loki show, and, you know, you get WandaVision, and I was like, oh my God. But then it's just, it's like a, okay, I'm sorry to say it like this, it's almost like a rash, like it just keeps spreading, and there's just more and more, and they keep popping up, like pimples, like they just keep popping up. Like, I went on Disney, I apparently didn't, when I got my new phone, because when my phone broke some months back, I apparently never put Disney Plus back on my phone. Yeah. I forgot that it was on my television, and now I don't have it anymore. So I had to put Disney Plus back on my phone, and then I opened it, which I guess I haven't opened it since July. And then I started seeing there's all these shows that are on there now that I like didn't know before. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. And so I'm trying to make sure I'm watching it in order, because, you know, Disney has that little organizing thing that shows everything that's in order, because I don't want to watch anything out of order. And I've gotten to the point where, like, this is just my opinion, but I watched, like I said, Spider-Man, and then Doctor Strange into the Multiverse of Madness. And I don't like those two films that much.
I feel like you.
I don't, and I'm feeling like this stuff is starting to get watered down, and I feel like the story wasn't that strong. Okay, you know this about me, and obviously Scott Derrickson knows this about me. I just told him, but I love Doctor Strange. I love that movie.
Right, right.
I really do. I've said this before on our show. I've said I never liked the fact that it was like the lower grossing of the Marvel movies. Like, because I was just like, I love this movie. I really, really, really do. And I know people got mad that Tilda Swinton was the Ancient One. And I did not, because it's Tilda Swinton. And if anything is going to be whitewashed by anybody, she can do it, because it's
horrible.
Tilda.
Horrible.
Okay. It's Tilda. Let her do whatever she wants. I do not care. It's fine if it's her. Anyway, moving on. But I love Doctor Strange. And so when I watched this movie, I was like, it's not that the movie is the problem, like the filming and a lot of stuff is really beautiful or whatever. It doesn't, that I just felt like in both of the movies, the story was very weak. I was like, so you guys just made a movie just to make one? So that's just how I felt. I was just like, so I'm one of those people at this point who is starting to get a little bit exhausted with this expanded universe, because not just, yeah, it's hard to keep up. Like, I didn't even finish Moon Knight, and I like Moon Knight, and I haven't finished it. But I was, these were the two big blockbusters, and I was disappointed, because I'm sitting here like, this shouldn't have even been called Doctor Strange. It should have been called Wanda in the Multiverse of Madness or something.
I agree. Like, I agree.
And he needs his own movie. And what about Mordo? What about what happened in movie one with Mordo?
Yeah, it is. And shout out to Sam Raimi, because I like his stuff. But like, it was definitely it felt like a justification of the Wanda show.
Yeah.
And it like, if you watch the, you know, WandaVision show, it feels like, okay, we got to make sure that the fans know that this stuff is actually important. And the only way to do that is actually to have her be a main figure in this particular film or in any film. And And that has like a double-edged sword type of an effect. One is like, it's cool because like, oh, I get it. This is continuing what happened after the WandaVision show. And so I'm glad I watched it. On the flip side is like, this isn't Doctor Strange's film.
No.
There's no character growth for him. It's just very much him reacting to things. And
yeah.
Even when they come to face-to-face with the council or whatever, the Illuminati, and they're talking about how the previous Doctor Strange was this and that and all the third, he is unbothered because it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no actual growth here. And even with him and his ex, you know, seeing her get married and all this other stuff, there's no growth there either because he had already positioned himself to be okay in this regard. The fact that he could even go to the wedding was enough.
Right.
It's not like he was there to kind of steal her back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah,
there's nothing. I mean, and granted, I enjoyed bits of it, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. I'm like, dang, I really wanted to have a Doctor Strange film that's just Doctor Strange, and not to say that he couldn't have a cameo, you know, Spider-Man or someone, you know. But I mean, like, even the movies with cameos usually are focused on a particular person, you know.
Yeah.
And this wasn't it. I really like Spider-Man, and a lot of it comes from having watched all the previous Spider-Man films, mm-hmm. including The Amazing Spider-Man, right before that actually came out. And so a lot of mm-hmm. things hit for me. But I can totally get it because it's a lot of information, a lot of things, setting up things. Like, these films seem to be, even though a lot of people are saying that like there's no interconnectivity, which I totally disagree, there seem to be films that position themselves for other things. And that mm-hmm. doesn't always work. Usually the way they did, at least with the earlier films, the Marvel films would be singular in a sense where they stood alone. Mm-hmm. But then the after credit scene would be, oh, this is setting up for something in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the entire Doctor Strange film was like, this is setting up for something else. This is setting up for the mutants to come. This is setting up for the Fantastic Four to be here. Potential crisis with the multiverse and all that other stuff. Like, this is all setting these things up, and it doesn't really work. And if that's, and unfortunately to tell you this, Thor isn't much better. Thor is actually worse.
I heard to so me, many people did not like it. You're not the only one though. There's a lot of people who are saying that. That's my project for next weekend, to watch it. Cause I got to space these things out, but it's just a little disappointing that the only thing that I can do is just wait for Black Panther, because that's the end for me. Like, that for real for me, like, that I'm good. I'm done. I want to watch Black Panther. I want to love Black Panther. Big up to Ghana that they're having like this whole big thing where they're trying to build a Wakanda in Ghana. And that's awesome. But like, I just kind of want to be done after that because I don't want to deal with any more of these like Marvel stragglers. You know, you guys killed Loki. Yeah. What's his face is dead. Thanos
is
dead.
Still here.
Loki. He's in our, you know, in his TVA universe. But I had to watch him get murdered by Thanos, and I'm still scarred by that. So that's my point. Is just like, you know, certain stuff is kind of like done for me, and like these other little films. And not that I don't love like Wanda, but I just wasn't pleased by this, especially because I thought I was getting Doctor Strange because I freaking love him, and I didn't. And I'm going to end on this. Hair and makeup. You guys are really pissing me off. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it with all of the fervitude or whatever, however you say the word, of my heart. I am so tired of whoever they are hiring for hair and makeup on half of these projects all over the globe. I don't know who put that lace front on Benedict. Who's responsible for this?
Oh goodness.
Who is it? I need to know. That is not the right lace front for him. Hire some black people, okay? I don't know what's going on, but black people know how to lay lace better than anyone on this planet. Go on YouTube, find half of these chicks who literally just buy wigs and do Get Ready With Me videos. Hire them for your hair and makeup people, because y'all are screwing up bad. There were so many lace fronts in that movie. And I'm like, why can I see all of the lace? Why can I see the makeup? Why can't? And then, okay, so I'm done with that. I'm done ragging on Marvel because you pissed me off. But House of the Dragon, you are next. I am tired. I am sick. And I am tired of these lace wigs that y'all don't know how to put on anybody, on black people, on white people, on every people. Who is in charge of your wig department? They need to be fired and gelded.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Good.
They
night.
Need to be whipped.
That is, yeah. All right. Hair and makeup, got to get it together. That's, you got to get it together.
Be like the Jackson said, get it together or leave it alone. Okay. Because this is not okay. I am so tired. They literally messed that little girl up all the way into her old age of Lord knows how old she was. But seriously, little Lena Targaryen, Lena Velaryon, all the way until she's an adult. And I'm like, they just had the same wig on her the whole time. Meanwhile, half these people got dreadlocks that don't even look like real dreads. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'll be like, you know, since we're going there, like I'll be looking at like shows, everything from like The Walking Dead to, like what you're talking about. Like, I'm like, your hair, like, does anyone not see this? This, like, here's the thing, right? We all know that this is a fake, like, this is a set. This is not real. They're actors, etc. But when you don't look real, you know how, like, you have someone who's, I don't want to say a cosplayer, but let's say you have, like, instance, they'll have someone who takes pictures of a set. They'll have the people in costume, and then like the costume looks okay, but they haven't added the movie magic yet. And so when you see them in the film, they look like a really good, well-made costume. Like this person could actually deflect bullets type stuff. And then you have, you know, you have the cosplay that it looks, could potentially look even better because the person took the time to do it all up and like really, really stand out because they're going to Comic-Con or whatever the case may be. So you have two examples of where it just looks great and it's from two totally different sides of the spectrum, right? And then you have the TV shows, which is like in the middle, where I'm like, who did any of this? Like, what? You didn't talk to the cosplay person, you didn't talk to the film people,
right?
You just kind of threw ish together, and now it looks like you went to, I don't know, some costume shop and got the raggediest wig you could find and just stuck it on someone's head. Like, it just looks so bad. And it's usually, no offense to anybody else, it's usually the black folks that look the worst. I'm like, her dreads don't, that's not dreads. That's not, that's not what that is.
That's not what that is.
Stop.
At all. And I'm looking at, and this is what bothers us, because like we're sitting here watching us get represented. We're watching us get put on, you know, whether it is something like Walking Dead or whether it is a fantasy show like House of the Dragon, where, you know, we were not necessarily expecting it or whatnot. And then here you go. Woohoo. Yay. Wonderful. But then you do us dirty. Like, and I'm sorry, like, we're allowed to sit here and voice our opinions, because clearly you didn't call the right people to sit here and say, hey, guess what, if you're gonna have black people playing in the role that was clearly written for a white person in your book, that you're gonna change it up real quick and turn it into black people, but you want everybody to believe that these black people are actually Valyrians. And so you're going to throw white hair on them so that people know that black people can be Valyrians too. That's totally fine. I'm cool with it. But then don't F up on the one thing that makes them Valyrian. The one thing that makes them Valyrian is their hair. That's the literally the only thing that is defining these people from being Valyrian versus being from the Summer Isles or somewhere else that we know black people exist in George Martin's world.
Right.
It's the white hair. So at least get that right.
Or
because if you don't get that right,
hair. Like,
I mean, that would be nice too, but a lot of people aren't willing to do that for themselves. So,
I mean, look, that they offer that
bag
is big enough, right? Like, people have shaved their entire heads to be in these roles. It will be okay for a little bit of dye until the filming is done, and then you can go back to, you know, your natural color. Like,
hello,
at the very least, you're gonna look good. Like, you know,
hello, I'm sitting here like, yo, I'm waiting for the day somebody wants to pay me to bleach my hair and to go full on platinum white. I'm ready for that day. They didn't call me. And I went ahead and cut my dreads off. You know,
cut your hair?
Oh, I didn't tell you. Yeah, no. I cut my hair. My 10 years worth of dreadlocks is in the trash. I kept one.
And see, I'm not getting dreads, but I'm growing my hair. And so I'm like, dang. And I feel like, I mean, since we're talking about hair, I mean, why not? It just don't want to go longer than a certain length. Like, it's like, it goes to my shoulder now. And then it's like, I'm not going any farther. I'm like, really? Like, you're right there. Like, you just,
no.
It's just gravity at this point. Just do your thing. Like, it's
and
like,
it's going to defy it.
Yeah.
It's like, our hair defies gravity.
Right, telling me to take several seats. I don't like that. That's really rude. Anyways. But yes, there's a lot of stuff when it comes to hair and makeup, especially with worse so, I should think, would be lighting. Because there's a lot of shooting of black people, like especially dark skinned people, where the lighting is terrible. Like just downright terrible. I'm like, is it that hard? And really all you would have to do is hire someone if it matters to you. That's the problem, right? If it really matters. You would hire someone.
They need to hire Mara Baraka Kill. She's going to get it right. She's going to get it right every time because Mara Baraka Kill and Saleha McKeel know what they're doing.
Right. And then you think about like the Black Panther, the first film, they won an award for their costume and makeup and set design, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, hire them.
Hire them.
Talk to Disney, like, hey, yo, if we could borrow them real quick. I know y'all done shooting Black Panther 2. Can y'all like help us out? Like, just do the hair. Like, we got the costumes. Just do the hair real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be dope. Like, hire
step
them.
Right on over.
I'm pretty sure they'd be willing to do it.
I want somebody to understand. Like, I don't know who their wig maker is, and it'd be funny if we find out their wig maker's black. Well, if that person's black, fire them and find
you
somebody
effed
else.
Up. Like, you effed up.
Yeah, because you effed up. But like one of the things that I'm noticing what they're doing with them is like, okay, so clearly the people who they're hiring already have black hair, dark hair, and you can see that through the wigs. And but they're trying to do this thing where it's like, okay, well, the black Valyrians, it's like the base of their hair is black, but then it grows in white. And it's like, what? That it doesn't make sense because it doesn't happen on the white Valyrians who have like for example, Viserys has a black beard, but they keep it shaved down because, you know, clearly Viserys can't be bothered to have his facial hair bleached or anything. You know, that could be the actor, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not sitting here saying anything. And I don't think Matt Smith grows facial hair. I've never seen it on him. I'm just saying. But like, one of the things that got me, I remember I told you this when we first talked about the first episode of House of the Dragon, or how I was saying I was feeling about Corlys Velaryon. And I was like, I have an issue with his wig because I was like, I have no problem with the roots of his wig. He's the only one that where his wig actually looks okay. But my issue is that the actual locks, the hair that they're using for the wig, it's not black. It's not kinky hair.
Right.
And so it's not locking properly. So the locks themselves look very, very white while the roots. And he doesn't have like that black roots that the other characters are having. Because like they clearly are paying more money for his wigs and makeup because he's the main character and they're like side characters. But it's just the fact that like the hair is looking like... It's not so when a regular person locks their hair, they're like the shaft is it has a certain matter of thickness. Right. In his locks, they look like twists. Like they look like they're just twisted and coiled all the way down. They actually look like they're budding. They don't look like they have locked. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Most black people anybody who's experienced dreadlocks would understand that, but probably people who are not familiar with dreadlocks wouldn't understand that. A lock that is truly locked is mature. These don't look like mature locks, even though they're very long.
Right.
And that's what makes it look like a wig. That's what makes it look fake. So you can easily fix that by actually having human hair lock wigs and not some sort of synthetic mess that you've made, or you've taken a kinky wig and you've hand rolled it yourself and it hasn't matured because you didn't make it 5 years ago. you made it to, you made it at the beginning of filming or something like that. Right. And mind you, he has several wigs because there's a period of time when he goes to war where his hair grows. I have to appreciate them because whoever the technical person was on set or, you know, whoever, director, whoever said, hey, time has passed. You can't have Daemon Targaryen's hair grow long when they've been in the Stepstones for 3 years, and then not have Corlys's hair grow long just because he's black or just because he has dreads. That's something that pissed me off on what's that stupid show? Walking Dead, where it was just like, so does Michonne's hair grow? And it took like what, 7 seasons for her to all of a sudden like something to change in her wig?
Yeah, you know? her hair did not move. Like
no,
did not move
for years. For years. And I'm sitting here like, I would say this all the time. I said, this is why I can't watch the show, because stuff just like these little things keep bothering me because the show is just too stupid. so I had to step back because I was just like, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to keep picking. But anyway, you know, back to, this is just something that really, really does bother me in House of the Dragon, because they decided to have many black characters there. There are many of them, and the same problem is happening with all of them. It's the hair. It makes them unbelievable. If you are going to put us in there,
yeah,
make me believe that you didn't just check off a diversity box. And I am saying that not just for me, for everybody who's sitting here like, oh shit, yeah, we're getting represented. And I'm like, nah, my locks look way better than that. And I had to cut mine off because they got damaged. So anyway, I have a whole lot of other things wrong with the House of the Dragon that we can get into another time, because I don't think we have time for it tonight.
Right.
I have lots of things wrong that bother me about this show that I would love to tell people about, but we'll save that because, yeah. Yeah.
That's always a thing, right? Hair thing, like representation is interesting because you're adding people into something and not recognizing some of the important facets of these people. Like hair is actually an important facet of black people. Like, and, yeah. And that's not even just like black people, like in the United States. I mean, like black people everywhere, like that's
everywhere, all over the globe.
Right. And so it's like, you want to kind of, and this happens in video games too, where we always complain about, we have a Caesar, we have an Afro. Those are the only options you give us. And both of them look trash, right? So it's like, dang, like, come on. Like, at some point, one of you has to be like, yo, we could get extra cool points if we just did this thing. I promise you, so many people would comment in a positive way. Like, I've seen people go like, oh, I'm going to buy the new Pokemon game because some of the trainers are black. Like, because they look like us. Like, just a little thing. Even if you want to be selfish with it. Like, hey, we could just make a whole lot of money. Forget representation. We could just make money. Like,
yes,
there's room there for that type of greed. You dig? Like, you just have to want to add this.
Want
stuff
to do
in.
It properly.
Yeah.
You know what? We can even throw in Mel's character from Arcane. Because
yes.
I remember initially when I... the first scene when Mel's hair is loose, I was a little irritated because I was like, they did that thing. They did that thing where it's like, okay, well, it's easier for us to make her more attractive if her hair is loose and curly and whatnot. And I was like, that was weird because like when she was a little, anyway, I got past that because I actually realized, there's a reason, because I thought her hair was locked because it looks like it's locked, but it's not. She just has very curly hair.
So I
was a little disappointed when her hair loosened out like that, because I thought they were doing that thing that they do with black women, where it's like black woman can't be sexy and can't be sexually attractive if her hair is in fro. And I say that because that same thing happened in Avatar. Like, we all know that what's-her-face, Naturi, her hair is braided. And then all of a sudden, that scene where she wants to get intimate with Jake Sully, all of a sudden, her hair is straight. And I'm like, that's just not cool. That's not okay. You do this in a lot of films. It's like it's like when you have a dark-skinned guy, but you intentionally get the light-skinned girl.
Right.
Because yep. she's yep. more attractive. And so, like, those kind of things are really irritating.
Which is some bullshit. Like, for real, for
it's
real.
It's BS.
Like, that's not, she's not more attractive. Like,
right.
stop it. Like, that's not how it's that just, works. That's,
exactly.
At least for us. Like, I get it for, you know, racist people. It, for us, no. It's not, that's not how that works. Exactly. I get that. Like oh, she's mm-hmm. she's a little lighter. Like, you mean she's a little bit more like, yeah, I get that. But right. that's not how we see things. And right. yeah, it's like, and I know maybe people who don't, who aren't us, maybe they won't understand what yeah. we mean when we say these things, but it's any culture, any group of people, they'll tell you, like, there's certain things where, like, typically what happens is we finally get representation, whoever it is, whatever group, mm-hmm. and then they go, okay, there's multiple hills here. Do mm-hmm. I die on each of these individual hills, or do I do, like, this big mound where I'm like, okay, we are finally here. At the very least, we're not being stereotypically depicted. Mm-hmm. Cool. I will let the other stuff slide. And so mm-hmm. to us, or to other people looking in, it might be like, oh, these are very small things. What happens, though, is that these small things add up and they become tropes. Yeah. They become things that just stay. And it's like, mm-hmm. If you could just really not do right. that. And it and what's also annoying is that it takes very little effort to fix these things, to correct these things. And once right. you do, you can see the result being just this grand, like,
yes.
it's funny. The small little things kind of hamper or like distract from your overall story, your narrative, right?
Thank you.
And then when you actually add those things, the narrative actually goes up way, way more. Like, it's way more positive. And so the net gain is much bigger than the work that you would put in. It's bananas how that works, because they're small little things, but
right.
just not being stereotypical, just not being, you know, depicting us
just
in,
not
like,
ticking
the roughest
boxes.
Way. Exactly. You can have this better. Everything is better. Just everything.
Everything is better. I appreciate so much. I appreciate what they did with Mel. After it clicked, when I realized why her hair is the way it is, that's when it clicked for me. Because, like I said, I was irritated at first. And then I was like, oh, I think they were trying to be very, very specifically representative, knowing that Mel's forefathers are white.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
potentially. And
I think that's where they're going. I think that's where the green eyes played in.
Mm.
Like, I think there's a lot of things that they're like, she is a descendant of the Solari not on her mom's side. And right. so I think that's where they were playing at, and it makes sense, because it's like, this is where you can tell somebody has put a lot of effort into something versus the little effort that they put in, like in House of the Dragon.
Right.
So I'm just kind of, that's just me being clean and open. And if Miguel Sapochnik wants to come and talk to us in regards to that, please, you're very welcome to come here and have a conversation. You know, we have no problem, and I won't badmouth anyone anymore, but just come talk to us so that I can,
I mean,
you know,
I might
say my concerns.
You know what I'm saying? I might. Nah, you know what? It's never really the person. It's mostly the work. Like, in terms of my intergalactic review, for instance,
yeah.
I was judging what was presented, not necessarily mm-hmm. the writers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I can say something you've done is poor without saying that you are a poor person or whatever.
Yeah.
So I will definitely stand on whatever it is. And that's with the idea that I don't know everything that goes into the makeup and stuff, but
yeah.
I know it doesn't, as the consumer, the appearance is not coming across the way it should. And so something,
right.
there's a disconnect there. So I'll be totally willing to, like, that ain't good. No, change
yeah.
that.
Just,
change all of
just
it.
Let us, like literally let me be consulting. I feel like I would be good at this. Like, I'm not good at a lot of things, and I need a job. I need a better job, sorry. So I'm like, seriously, like, please let me come work there and be a consulting person for hair and makeup. I would love to do that, because I won't let you guys send a little black girl down into filming when she looks as crazy as little Laenor Velaryon did. I won't let that happen. That won't happen on my watch.
Facts.
And then you won't have Twitter, you won't have Black Twitter dragging you for that kind of stuff. So please, where do I send my resume?
Yes, I and I want a set tour. That's all I want, just to come down and, like, kind of see
you
the,
will you have
know,
it.
You know what I'm saying?
You I just want to see will.
It. Like I represent the Gamecast. If you could just point me to where Tess's studio is or whatever, I would like to. Yeah, that would be dope. Yeah. I would be amenable to that. You know, letting you take a few weeks off to kind of go and do hair and makeup.
Yeah,
that would be great. That would be great. Especially I might watch it then. I might even watch it.
I might actually watch it.
You know, or at the very least. Go to your Instagram and see some of the pictures you took. I'll do that.
Right.
I will totally do that.
Honestly, it don't even matter anymore. They're all going to die.
Right? It's we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Yeah. The last thing we want to talk about real, real, real quick, because I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about, is Lizzo playing the flute.
Mm-hmm.
And people being upset about it. There's two different videos. If you haven't seen the videos, there's one of Lizzo playing, I think it's in the House of Congress. And
Library of Congress.
The Library of Congress is one of those places. She's playing the flute, and this happens.
There's no House of Congress.
Right. I messed that up. That's my fault. The place where things happen in Congress, apparently. Mm. She's there and she's playing a flute. And then there's another where she's on stage playing. It's the same flute. Apparently, it is, was it James? No.
Madison.
Yes, Madison's flute. And it's a, like, I guess, it's like really fragile.
It's a crystal flute.
It's crystal flute. It's really fragile. And I guess because she was shaking a little bit, some white people said twerking. I didn't see twerking there. I saw a little bit of shaking. She was going to drop it and potentially break it. And they were like, hey, you don't respect history. And then, and because she didn't really play anything like talking about. But then on the other video, it shows her playing really, really well. Like amazingly so.
Because she's a professional flautist.
Exactly,
flautist.
Right? And so... People don't know nothing. Like, no, they don't. People are in two camps, and that's how Twitter is. People kind of just say stuff.
Yeah.
But there was one tweet that I saw that was interesting. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but it was a thread talking about how people see one thing and then they internalize or you know, their perspective is different based on their upbringing, based on where they came from, all that good stuff, and how they're like minorities or people of the global majority. Saw that as like, oh, this is an interesting, you know, display here where you have someone who is not only talented, but a black person playing the flute that was, that belonged to a person who, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in history, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had white people who were like, hey, you're not respecting our history and all this other good stuff. And it's like, well, I could kind of understand that from either viewpoint, if you're just looking at it as just a viewpoint. But then at the same time, I'm like, I start to slowly seep back into reality where I get out of my debate mode. I get out of my, let's just lay out the facts and see what we're talking about. I get into the reality of the fact that majority of you didn't know who the person was or who the flute was or who Lizzo is. You just saw a black woman playing flute, found out she had some type of historical whatever, and got upset. Had nothing to do with the fact that she might have dropped it. Had nothing to do with whether she could play well or not. Because once it was interesting, because once people saw her play in the other video, some of them changed their tune. And it's like, wow, if you just Googled a little bit or just not be upset about the first thing you see in the morning.
Exactly.
Potentially, this type of discourse doesn't happen because it's really not a big deal. If anything, I was just like, this is dope that she can play really well. I would like to see her to play the flute more often outside of like... you know, a brief moment in her concerts.
First of all.
Yeah.
First of all, if people even read that she was invited to the Library of Congress by the Library of Congress, the simple fact that they said, hey, Lizzo, you're going to be in D.C. Want to come over and play some flutes?
Right.
We have a really, really big flute collection.
How about
you come over? You know what I mean? Like, they started this.
Right, exactly.
They were like, come over, play some flutes, bring some cameras. This is going to be wild.
That sounds so terrible.
It does. But and such in the fashion of Lizzo, she would love that.
Right, right.
But the simple fact that they have the largest collection of flutes, like, of historical flutes, just sitting in the effing library. I mean, if anybody's ever been to the Library of Congress, come on, this place is huge and it's got a whole lot of stuff. Beautiful
right.
place.
That no one, to be honest, no one freaking cares about.
No one effing cares. I guarantee you, half those people, 90% of those people who had something bad to say didn't know that there was a crystal flute in the Library of Congress.
No.
I didn't know that they had flutes in there. I've been there. And I don't remember getting the tour where we went and saw the flutes.
Right, you had a whole closet of these? Hold up, fam. Like, you got just crystal flutes just laying around? Yeah, like
they just got drawers full of flutes. I've been there, and I didn't see that
plays.
Part.
Just nobody plays. Like, just
nobody's playing them.
We just collect these. This is our spring collection. We don't intend anyone to touch them, though.
They have music. They do have, like, music tours. Like, the Library of Congress is a pretty dope place. They have all kinds of things going on there. They have all kinds of awesome stuff. And so that was, like, I think that was awesome. Then be like, hey, come over here and do this thing. And it's amazing because they literally say, by the way, okay, here's a regular flute, which she bomb plays. Like, she literally goes and does all kinds of nonsense. And it's like, wow. And then they're like, so there's this crystal flute. Okay. It was owned by James Madison. Want to play this? And she's like, give me that right now. And then you know what she does? She does the reenactment of what the other thing that's like a little meme. What's her face is twerking in the red wig.
Yeah.
That's all she's doing. That's literally all she's doing, and she just replays that until then you see that she actually plays a full on song on that flute.
Yep.
She goes hard. Okay, she blows everybody away. Can the woman who is a professional flutist also have fun and just shake her butt when she wants to and then say the word bitch? Can she do that? Can she live?
Apparently not, because we're not allowed to have fun. You can't have fun with history. You know, you can't, it's just, despite the fact that someone let her do this, right? It's not like she ran in and stole the flute and then took it to some place and was like, hey, look what I got. It was like, fam, she's, the reason why they called her there, and honestly, a lot of it had nothing, the only reason, they know of her in terms of being a pop star, but not so much of her talents. And so... Mm-hmm. I believe that they would have called her there to potentially play a flute if she was just happened to be talent regardless. Like, if she wasn't known as Lizzo, if she wasn't, like, touring and all this other stuff, the fact that she's so good at this that they would probably call her there to do it anyways.
Yep.
So, like, your whole, I don't know, is a lot of, it's similar to me where people get upset if you don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you don't. You don't respect the flag, but then those same people have the flag as a blanket, as a, you know what I'm saying, as a hat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you realize that that's actually disrespectful. Like, that's actually not what they wanted you to do with the flag. But you're upset that someone isn't standing for whatever freaking reason. Like, it's something to be upset about. It's something to be, I saw one fool was talking about how this is how they showing that they're being conquered. Like white people are being conquered and they're making fun of our history. And that's proof that we're being conquered. And I'm like, wait,
what
United States of America is being conquered by black people? Cause I missed out. Apparently I missed out on all the fighting and everything that's supposed to go with it. Like, I will take a crystal flute or whatever the case may be. I'm not going to play it. I would sell it probably. But yeah, I would take something if that's the case. But no, we aren't. How did you come up with this, sir? Like, and apparently this person is well known for their rhetoric. I don't know who they are for the most part, but I just saw it and I was like,
it was, wow. Please tell me it was Matt Walsh.
No, and what's interesting about that is that I had Matt blocked way before, and so I saw, like, it was like stuff coming up where you're like, you know, you can't see a person's tweet or whatever the case, and I was like, who did I block? Did I accidentally block the wrong person? And I'm like, oh, it's Matt, never mind.
Keep him blocked. Went back.
But surprisingly, it wasn't even him. I mean, he said some foolish stuff too, but it wasn't even him, it was another person. It's like, y'all just want to be persecuted so bad. I don't understand. I don't understand what that, I think it's like, maybe it's like, you know, like kids who, like, maybe nerds or whatever, who like listen to rap music and want to be tough. They want to, like, they want to have some type of experience that they could talk about and say, like, hey, I'm tough, like that, like that rapper over there, you know, like I've been in the hood. And it's like, just stop, please. Just stop. That's not what this is. That's not what we're doing here. That's not what we're here for. Like, no. I don't, there was no positive side of this. There's no, you know, because we were persecuted, we are now A, B, and C. There, no, there's no good.
No.
Like, the things that are good in us was already there before that. We didn't have to be persecuted to find that. So whatever it is you see that you think is so appealing with this idea of being persecuted, it's not. And I promise you, every single person who's Black, who's, you know, Asian American, you know, the LGBT, you know, Q community, like anybody who's ever been persecuted will tell you that it is not fun. It is not something that you should want or desire. Please stop. Just please.
Yeah.
Like, because this is really mild. If that's what's conquering you, you would not survive. You would not.
Think about the aliens invading. And it's like, you're going first, dude. You don't know what it's like to be persecuted. Your people can't handle this.
Can't handle
our
anything.
People got 500 plus some odd years of this. We're going to be okay.
Guys, you guys nearly died from having to wear masks. Like, you, like, there was people like comparing wearing masks to like, to how the you know Jewish people and you know the Holocaust or whatever. I'm like,
we were talking about Stars of David and I'm like, seriously?
A mask?
These people were corralled into ghettos and gassed and starved and beaten and literally all kinds of horrible things. Cooked in furnaces.
You had to wear a mask for like almost a year. Like, oh
so that
gosh.
You wouldn't get a communicable disease that was killing people.
I'm like,
I can't. It's just the logic.
The level of it's a, you know what? We're going to stop right here because we can go all day. Shout out to everybody who listened to the podcast, who hung out with us. Be sure to go check out episode 91, Black Balloons, a solid episode with Scott Derrickson. And feel free to subscribe. If you're listening to us on YouTube, sub and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're listening on, you know, Spotify or iTunes, those different places, feel free to subscribe there or add us to your RSS feeds so we pop up. We have some more shows. We have planned special guests. I'm not sure if the certain special guests that we have in mind are going to be able to make it before the year is out, but we hope so. We definitely hope so. But even if we don't have special guests, we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about, whether it's new shows, video games, anime, which I have to talk about pretty soon because there's a lot of stuff that I watched I didn't get a chance to talk about recently, manga, and all of the sort. So keep it locked here for all of your Black nerdiness stuff, if you will.
Yeah, that's it. I got nothing. I got a headache, y'all. So... We'll see you next time. Remember to wash your hands, wash your faces and your butts. Be kind, wear your masks, you know, do all the good stuff. Use hand sanitizer. See you in a week or two. Bye.